Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Okay, motherfucker!
What are you looking at, sir?
I'm looking at you, miss.
Run that, baby.
I'm not the Zodiac. And if I was, I certainly wouldn't tell you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the final Imprint Companion of 2024. This is a podcast co-hosted by me, Blake Howard, and the legendary Alexi Toliopoulos.
Hello.
And we are spinning the discs of the great independent boutique Blu-ray label Imprint Films. We do it couple of times, you know, probably a couple of times a month based on their batches. We've hit the final batch of the year, the finale batch, their first ever four film 4K batch. And they have saved truly the most maximalist, craziest shit for last.
It's truly like quite an impressive batch of films. And, you know, with Imprint, it's interesting because there'll be some month where you're like, it's a glut of quantity and some really big, big box sets. Like, I remember there was one month this year where we had like a big neo-noir After Dark box set, a couple of other box sets. It's been a lot of box sets this year.
That same month was a Scorsese box set, Films of Faith, and the After Dark neo-noir set.
Huge, huge.
Monstrous.
And I think it's interesting to end the year on four huge releases.
Yes.
Four 4K, huge. These feel like definitive releases.
Yep.
And also rare for this label and probably like big boutique labels in general, like a classic Australian film in this set as well.
Yep.
So I don't know. I've been so excited when I saw these announcements come through of what the December batch was going to be. And including in it is not just an Australian classic, but I would say one of my most important favorite movies of all time, maybe the movie I've seen the most in my life.
Wow.
Is included in this bundle. And it is in the most ridiculously extravagant set I have ever seen.
Maximalist. And right now, to celebrate our final episode of the year, Alexi and I are together.
Hand in hand.
Hand in hand.
Hand in hand.
And nursing the stupidest box set we have almost ever seen. We are literally nursing a leather bound. Mm-hmm. Right now, Lex is holding it. It is as big as a coffee table book that says the never ending story.
I think it is bigger than a coffee table book.
Yeah,
it is.
It's so thick.
Near exact replica.
Wait, let's. If you're holding,
it's four flat Blu-ray sizes. I've measured it out because the NeverEnding Story box set from Imprint Films. I'm a bit stunned by it. When I saw this come through, I was stunned by it. Opening it up, I was stunned by it once again. And it's so big. Like it's an exact replica of the one in the film, or near enough.
Near enough. It's got that great sort of an intertwined snake eating its own tail. And when you open this bad boy up,
the Orin.
beautiful insert with urine in there, and it I've taken the back of the box off because it comes with a little sticker and a cardboard layout that tells you everything. We'll go through that in a moment.
Dare I say that's the best thing that Imprint does is they've got the card and it fits inside any box when you've got it. So I'm just going to say that. That's my favorite touch as a collector.
First, you've then got this huge...
Folio. It's the only way to describe them.
A folio that has original, like... What looks like super-sized lobby card prints.
And a ginormous poster as well.
And a ginormous poster. All these like classic shots from the movies and stills. And it like they do feel like old-school lobby cards. But if you saw a lobby card when you were a kid, it's not like this. It's, again, equally gigantic for the size. It then comes with a dossier. It's the only thing you could be described as a dossier. Where you open up the Neverending Story, you've got... beautiful pictures.
Yeah, they're kind of like original photos. Some of them, I think, are concept art in there, but I think that's very thoughtfully presented. And then this is something I've never seen in a set before.
I've truly never seen
where it's kind of like as you said, a dossier where it's printed on nice like script paper that has notes on the film, biographies of the characters. I've never seen something like
that. Dude, you know what this is?
I think it's a lovely touch.
It's literally what it is for folk, and I'm going to get like a bit like film nerdy and in the biz. Oh. What we would call...
on this podcast?
On this, exactly. What we would call this is right now there is such thing as an electronic press kit, or sometimes we call it an EPK for short. This is an old school paper printed press kit that you can imagine in the 80s. There was no electronic distribution. So it's literally the press kit that is printed. It's printed on like courier font, thin paper. They've had to print en masse. They're just handing it out to journos at junkets or whatever the case may be. It's literally a replica of that, and it's amazing. So someone, because this movie is so near and dear to folks' heart, have kept that. So then there's these two huge, like, you know, you got the dossier, you got the folio. Then you open up to this beautiful sort of like,
velvet
inlay.
We got
Faux velvet inlay to the glorious lenticular cover of Neverending Story in 4K from the classic poster image. Falcor on the front.
It's lenticular. Then we've got a five-disc set, which includes...
this is the most economically sized five-disc set. I know. It's beautiful.
You say that, and then it's in this giant... the biggest thing that you've ever owned. But I do agree. Like, I like that it's all in this one contained case. Yep. And it's something that I had only been in my research of The Neverending Story as one of my favorite films. I'd only recently kind of come across... the two cuts, that there is an original German cut of the film because it's Germany's most expensive movie, the biggest film in German history at one point in time. Don't know if it still is. But the German cut was...
bigger than Triumph of the Will?
Well, you know, there's different circumstances I think that they were under. But the German cut is about 10 minutes longer. And I'd always kind of heard about it in the last few years, kind of understanding what the differences were. And I hadn't had a chance to see it, even though I had already imported the German Blu-ray 4K release a couple of years ago when it was released. And I'm like, oh, I've got to see Neverending Story 4K. And I've always been curious about the German cut. But getting it in my hands, I was able to watch the German cut, compare and contrast the 4K theatrical cut. I watched them both this weekend. They're almost identical. The 10 minutes is just a few little skerrits being cleaned out. But I'd say the main differences are... the score is different. The iconic music and the iconic theme song to The Neverending Story by Lamal is absent. It's the synthy parts, which are the Giorgio Moroder legend of Italo Disco, is missing. Like, that was added for the American release. But there are other songs in there that are just as iconic, which are by Klaus Dollinger.
So when I put this on for myself to check it out, I put... on the original theatrical cut, because I'm nowhere near
the US
theatrical cut. I put that on.
The original theatrical cut actually is a German one. It's a German movie. Yeah.
You have to have that voice
corrections. Otherwise, I feel ashamed.
But when I watched it, that to me is, I'm really interested because I haven't checked out the German cut yet, but it's stunning. But the sound, sonically, it's fucking insane. The upscale is insane. And that Giorgio Moroder like flurries, like that actually took, that had a more transformative almost recall than the movie. Like the songs of the movie are such a time machine.
Yeah.
And so that was my experience of watching it. I started out kind of passively watching it, so for the show, because obviously yep. Neverending Story is something I was familiar with, watched yes. a lot when I was a kid. And then that's what was hooking me in. I was just like, oh man, like this is like, it's a little time machine. It's great.
I can tell you almost every change because I understand them. I've seen that movie so many times. There's one, the biggest excised from the German to the American release is there's just one scene where a teacher or something comes up into the attic of the school where Bastian is reading the book and they're carrying some stuff they trip over or whatever. That's the biggest thing that's right. cut out. It's just an unnecessary scene. There's a few things that get changed because Steven Spielberg comes on as an executive producer because he likes Peterson. Wolfgang Peterson, they had collaborated on Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark because the U-boat that is in Raiders of the Lost Ark is Das Boot.
Is Das Boot.
It is actually Das Boot. It's the same thing.
Same thing.
And he borrowed off it. They were making them concurrently. He borrowed it, made it, put it in there. And he was like, they got along so well. I was like, oh, I want to help you with your next thing when it comes to America. They start collaborating on the Neverending Story, recutting it, or just like a little doctored cut. That's when the Giorgio Moroder score comes in that amps up the Klaus Dollinger score. Probably a lot of the musical notes that you remember from Neverending Story are actually the Klaus Dollinger score.
Yes.
Which is the... That's that. Yeah. So it's orchestral score. The only other small thing that I can say is... the Deep Roy character in the movie.
Yeah.
Different accent in both things. He's ADR'd. There's a lot of ADR going on because it's a European film. But I think in the original German version, it's Deep Roy's actual voice doing an English accent because that's what I'd asked for. Oh, no, it's an American. He's doing an American accent and then they redub it to be English in the American one because a little bit more cowboy in the... thing. It's a very little odd change, but I got a lot of joy from being able to see it. But this is kind of the set I'd always dreamed of having for this. In particular, there's an entire full feature length documentary.
That's what I was going to talk to you about.
That I think is quite like if you are a Neverending Story diehard like I am, Life After the Neverending Story is the third film in a series of similarly themed films of going back to 80s films from director Lisa Downs. She'd previously done Life After Flash, which is Life After Flash Gordon, which is catching up with characters and actors and people that made the movie many years later. The other one is Life After Flight of the Navigator.
Oh, wow.
Another great like 1980s kind of fantasy genre picture. And then Life After Neverending Story is obviously the one that I'm most interested in. It's quite a lovely feature-length doc. Noah Hathaway, who plays Atreyu in the film, is kind of the centerpiece in this. And he's such an interesting person, a fascinating subject, especially to have someone discussing what it was like to be a child actor back in this time, especially on a troublesome production like this and an iconic child star performance. It's quite interesting. And you get to hear like Giorgio Moroder's in it, Klaus Dollinger's in it, like all these great people interviewed. They all have interesting things to say. My only drawback in the documentary is like there's a lot of like 1980s movie fans. They're fans of 80s movies. They're not fans of cinema. They're not fans of film. They kind of get a bit too many talking heads for my taste. And you could have cut the runtime down out by getting some of those guys out. But I thought it was like really fabulous. And it extends on like what this set is all about. And seeing this film in 4K, finally, it is one of the most beautiful fantasy cinema experiences you can have. The matte paintings look absolutely stunning.
Yeah, they don't age in 4K. They look better.
They look better. And I would say, like, I've seen this movie so many times. The one thing that I noticed new for me or had resonance for me in a new way for me is, like, there's a sequence that amazed me this time where it's just kind of, like, down the line, shot reverse shot, where Bastian and the childlike empress are interacting at the climax of the film, where he's in our world, she's in Fantasia, and she's like, say my name. And it's just close-ups of each other where she is looking directly at the camera, as is he, and they're cutting back between worlds.
Yeah.
And there's a moment where the empress's frame, the shot on the empress just persists for a few frames longer than you would than would reasonably, like, it's so short. It's like a minute few, like a second maybe longer than rhythmically it should be. And that rhythm that they get into with that by just being slightly off, and you don't even know it. Like, you don't even know it because you're not counting seconds when you're watching a movie. But when you're so familiar with it, you kind of feel these things. And it gives you this feeling of, holy shit, is she actually talking to me? Because it just holds on that little bit longer.
Yes.
And I just go, that is the Wolfgang Peterson touch, where just like you find these moments of how the movie's communicating with you, the audience. And I just felt something powerful in that. And, you know, I'm in love with this movie all over again. Absolutely one of my favorites. This is Loaded. It's so big. It's an expensive set.
It's
so
expensive.
Very expensive.
So as we say this, we try, especially because, you know, it's Christmas time. Mm-hmm. You've probably got money that's already spent, or perhaps you're looking for something that is big.
Mm.
If you are a frothy super fan, or you know a frothy super fan of The NeverEnding Story, and particularly if they're a physical media head, this is, I mean, we've said it a few times, but this is definitive.
Yeah.
Like, it's the set that broke all the other sets.
And I would say, like, I think it is quite expensive. It's an investment, I guess, of, like, for your collection.
Have big shelves.
It is, for me, what it comes down to is, would I have bought this? Because we get these courtesy of Imprint. They send us these for review. I feel crazy to say it. I would have bought this.
I know
this.
You would have.
And I would have bought it full price.
100%.
Because I would be like, I want it instantly.
Yeah. You would have pre-ordered it.
I would have wanted it full price.
Just like you and I were texting each other saying, did you pre-order Michael Mann's 4K of The Keep?
Mm-hmm. And I did.
And I did too.
And I would have still bought this.
Yeah.
And I feel crazy.
Even though now we know that the great folk at Imprint are bringing out The Keep.
Exactly. I want both versions.
I want both versions too.
And there's sometimes there's things like that, and I go, but this one, I can safely say there'll never be a version better than this one. So I will be okay, but I would have absolutely...
Short of a version that transports you into Fantasia.
Exactly.
There's nothing that's ever going to be better.
The only thing that could have made this worse if they put the two sequels in here. That would have been the only drawback if they'd put the two sequels in as well. But it's just beautiful. And it's so big that forever will change the landscape of my apartment. That's how big this set is. You need to start planning where you're going to put it. I've got no idea yet. I think it'll be a permanent coffee table in my house.
I've earmarked it on a box set shelf. Yeah.
I think it will probably sit on my bed. So like it's like when you have to get your dress pillows off, it'll be like that.
It's like
okay, we're going to bed. Better put the table book out of here. But I just love this. This is as ridiculous as the set is. It is a very strong contender for my DVD set of the year, physical media release of the year. And I feel crazy saying it because I know how ridiculous this set is. But I fucking love it. I'm in love with this set. It's one of the nicest things I've ever owned.
Yeah, it's...
And I'm including my $1,200 washer dryer from LG that I just had repaired. I'll put it up there with that, you know?
It's so brilliant. We've given so much airtime to the big, gigantic centerpiece of this batch that we should talk about a couple of the others. Number one, I might just kick off with the Australian film. As you said, the Australian classic, The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. It is an absolute... legendary film.
Mm-hmm.
It is 1994, directed by Stephen Elliott. Obviously stars Terrence Stamp, Guy Pearce, Hugo Weaving.
Yeah. It's Hugo Weaving, guest of the last video store.
Guest of the last video store. Can I just say, that's how good Hugo Weaving is. Like, people think like Mr. Anderson, or people think like Lord of the Rings, and people think it's just like...
Yeah. Hugo Weaving's so good, you associate the words he said another character's name in the movie with him.
Yeah. Like... He's so magnificent that I remember seeing him in this and being like, this guy can fucking do anything. Yeah. Like, retrospectively, you look at his entire career. Guy Pearce too, shot out of a fucking cannon from this movie into LA Confidential. I'm like, that is the spectrum of an actor that is going to be a national treasure. Love this film. Love to pieces that it's got a beautiful 4K.
I think this set is fantastic.
It's great.
Because they've given it the similar treatment to The NeverEnding Story where they've got the Between a Rock and a Hard Place,
yes,
the feature-length documentary about this film. And I'm going to say this. I think this is only the second time I've seen Sydney, my hometown, on screen in 4K in my home.
What was the first?
Also stars Hugo Weaving, The Matrix.
That's so fantastic. Yeah,
I think those are the two 4K, the Sydney 4Ks.
Both with, what would we call him? We call him part of the furniture in Sydney.
Yeah, exactly.
Hugo Weaving. It is a sensational film. I'm also going to just give a quick preview. I'm going to get my great friend Katie Walsh to do, and I to do a bit of a deep dive in this, because Lex and I are biased.
Get the outside eye on,
get the outside eye on it. It's a classic. I think it's one of the funniest movies that this country's ever made. I think it completely stands up. It has crass, wonderful humor. Yeah. It is absolutely stunningly gorgeous. It is so goddamn rewatchable, so damn quotable. It's a movie that I just love and adore and treasure to pieces. Yes. It also has this gigantic healing heart that like literally continues to have resonances in our lovely city. You go to the Imperial in Erskineville.
Love it.
And if you go there, there is a Priscilla drag show that happens. And when it gets going, you are kind of still part of the, the harmony that this movie created. And I just think it's so, it was such a cultural touchstone and it continues to be. And if people were ever asking me my top 10 Australian films of all time, I would say that Priscilla, Queen of the Desert put it in there.
Yeah, great choice.
Because I don't know there's some great comedies but this just kind of has it all. Like I would have to be in my top 10.
I think it is one of the true icons of Australian cinema and culture. Like it's the way that it captures the drag scene in the 90s is potent, and it helped put Australian drag on the map worldwide, where you have a definitive understanding like what Australian drag is.
Yeah.
Just fantastic movie. I'm so excited to see it not only get a beautiful boutique release, but a 4K one.
Yeah.
I can't think of a more exciting Australian film to receive that. Because it's not like you're not going like, oh, what are the most beautiful Australian films? Like Picnic Hanging Rock, should that be a 4K? Like, it's like, no, this is exciting. It's color, it's bright. It's the desert. It's the landscape. It's the city. It's everything we would want.
If you think anything is more beautiful this year on 4K than Guy Pearce atop a bus, lip syncing through the desert.
One of the great images.
One of the great images of our national cinema. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, stunning. Great release. Film. Great release.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Now, let's, before we go to our very familiar territory with Imprint and Peckinpah, let's jump over to just one of the absolutely most insane cast.
You can't believe it.
So if you ever read this, it would just be insane. Dirk Bogarde.
Oh, well, we're not starting strong.
It's
an alphabetical
order. It's alphabetical order, guys. Jimmy Khan, Michael Caine, Sean Connery. I'm skipping Edward Fox, I'm sorry. Elliot Gould, Gene Hackman, Anthony Hopkins, Laurence Olivier, Ryan O'Neill, Robert Redford, Maximilian Schell, Liv Ullmann. It's got a screenplay by Academy Award-winning
William Goldman.
It's produced by Joseph E. Levine and Richard Levine. It's directed by Richard Attenborough. It is A Bridge Too Far. Holy hell is this. I mean, this is an unbelievable release for a Stone Cold classic film.
And of course, it's in that epic style of Richard Attenborough. So it's a very handsome production.
Yes.
A very handsome period piece that captures like something quite elegant, and
the scale of it is
humongous.
The scale of Richard Attenborough films, makes me think of Gandhi, for example. It's just like the scale of his pictures that it would just floor someone to go like, we need 1,000 soldiers here. Yeah. We need 1,000 people on a beach. We need 1,000 people. It's like, it's just an insane thing. And this multi-generational, rich, like kind of like cross-cultural touchstones of like the biggest performers in England and the biggest performers in America and the biggest performers in Europe coming together to make this. It's just absolutely incredible. So it's I love on the back of the box here. It says in a sleepy Dutch town with its brick church towers and arching iron bridges, Allied paratroopers drop in deadly waves through the smoke and flak of an exploding summer sky. It is World War II. It is the tragic Allied attack on the Rhine Bridge at Arnhem. And it also is perhaps the biggest motion picture of all time.
It really does feel quite big. Like, this kind of film is not my bag. Like, that war genre is just not really the stuff that I connect with or get excited about. But
World War II films as well for our particular generation.
It's not even dad movies, it's granddad movies.
It's granddad movies. Yeah. So and I think also we had, like, unfortunately around the time that you and I were kind of in our teens, you had kind of genre breakers like Saving Private Ryan that came through, and then Band of Brothers, which is a phenomenal production as well, that came through The Thin Red Line, of course, in the same year. They kind of redefined what those war pictures were. And so the World War II pictures now that were made either in the 70s or in the 60s and things like that, they all feel tremendously dated. Yeah. However, they, for me now, are even more fascinating.
Yeah.
They just become these great curios where you're watching attitudes, where you're watching posturing, where you're watching definitions of masculinity on screen, but especially with that cross-sectional cast that we were talking about. And that's where I almost watch them more as an intellectual exercise these days. And if I can be caught up in any kind of the drama, then I'm happy and we get there. And it's probably, it's not one of the stronger ones for me either, but just as far as an artifact to get as a big box set, I think it really earned it.
To speak to the artifact of this film, it's pretty interesting because, like I said, it's not really my bag, but I quite enjoyed this film. And it's interesting to kind of go, they didn't know how good they had it back then.
No.
This is a line from Roger Ebert's review. It's not an epic. It's the longest B-grade war movie ever made. And I'm watching it now going like, this is so nicely made. And it's not just like this unfathomably great cast. And like, it's such a spring of different, like across the spectrum of actors, like so many different talents from around the world. They're all well directed and well placed. Like that just makes sense. And I'd say above it all, this is like a nearly 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
And I think it rarely feels as long as it is. The pacing's quite nice for like this epic feeling. It's going, wow, Ebert and stuff just going like, you don't know how good you had it back
then. Bro, can you imagine Ebert just reviewing Netflix movies right now?
Yeah.
He would be, every review would start with, I am in hell.
Yes.
Just like, you have no idea. No,
it probably is. He only gave half a star to Wet Hot American Summer and wrote a Camp Granada parody instead of a review. The guy probably is in hell right now. He probably is reviewing Netflix movies.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've just found Lexus a real sore spot. We just really touched on something. He's got a gripe with Ebert and he's taken it to the grave. I think also, this is the time, 1977 is when this was released. It is a fascinating nexus because it's still old Hollywood and it's about to be this burgeoning new Hollywood. And we've seen the scale and the skeptical of things like Jaws that have come out. Star Wars is right around this time. And so there is a massive entertainment transition where we're going from like new Hollywood and we're going from those things into this time. So it also is fascinating there to see how that's reflected because like, I know you and I love something like The Untouchables how that is a De Palma movie that's talking through the ages with actors and time and scale. and you do this, which is a completely different genre, of course, but it's like around these times, they're kind of, there's doing a bit of generational handover. Mm. And yeah, like even that synopsis, the biggest B-grade war movie you've ever seen, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Sign me up every day of the week for that movie.
I don't think it's B-grade. I think it's a little bit better than B-grade. And I would say that if this is your genre, no-brainer, watch this. No-brainer. You'll have it. Dedicate a Sunday afternoon to this and you'll love it. I really liked it and this is not my bag. So I think it's worth your time.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. The last time I watched it, I was talking to Lex. The last time I watched A Bridge Too Far, much like a lot of things. I watched it on, I think my nan had a VHS copy on one of those televisions that had a VCR in the top of it.
Mm.
And I think I watched it on that in pan and scan.
I would make,
it's a little bit different now watching it on 4K.
I would maybe even say of this batch of four, this might be the one that looks the best in 4K.
Yes.
Like I think it looks quite handsome.
Yeah.
But that's nothing to snuff at. They all look great. And should we move on to our final film?
Final one.
And I would say this looks fantastic in 4K.
It does.
It, of the Peckinpah films that we've had through Imprint, this is the best looking one, the one that's treated most nicely. This is Convoy from Sam Peckinpah, starring Kris Kristofferson and Ali McGraw. And I think it's the first film for Imprint to be based and adapted on a song.
Really?
I always thought the song was a theme to this movie. It's the other way around. Someone heard the song and go, that would make a good movie. And it's adapted on a film. It's How to Make Gravy, babe.
Oh my God.
Read us a little synopsis for Convoy. For those that haven't seen this film.
A group of independent-minded truck drivers led by trucker Rubber Duck and his freelance photographer girlfriend take the roads in a massive stand against corrupt authorities. I love the name on all of these, Mike Siegel, who is at this point you would say Peckinpah acolyte.
Yeah.
He's such a
expert.
The guy. Yeah. He's like the guy on this on the entire Peckinpah legacy.
If you're the man guy, I'm the Mike Myers guy. Yeah. He's the Peckinpah guy.
He's the Peckinpah guy. We got to give it where he's due.
And he probably chose the best of three.
Certainly a very fascinating one. But this is not my favorite Peckinpah.
It might be my least favorite Peckinpah of all that I've seen. I think this is, it's boring. I was going to say but, and then I go, no, it is quite boring. I mean, the but is great performers, great actors, great integration of music in it. There's some great action sequences. It's quite stunning to look at. But it kind of lacks the...
It doesn't have any kind of venom.
The grit, complexity, the Peckinpah of it all, which has been the greatest journey for us going through the films that Imprint has released of Peckinpah.
Like that, I feel like we are getting closer to a complete definitive collection of all of Peckinpah's films. Like periodically, you know, every one or one, you know, so probably every four batches or so, there's some kind of new Peckinpah. And I would say even something like Osterman Weekend, which was such a wild discovery for me. Love that. And I say venom, and I don't mean to say that in like a mean or nasty way, but just every one of them just
it's
has
got
this,
his pain, his hurt, you know?
It's just got a quality to it that it just... Desperate Damage Man.
Exactly. You're so spot on. And I think about like my favorite one that I've revisited a few times since is Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia. And I think that is one of the greatest autobiographical films ever, where it's just going like, this is who I am. Let's channel it through a genre picture. Convoy is not that. Convoy is a bit more of like your blockbustery B type, not...
Yeah. Like this is a B-grade trucker movie.
Exactly.
Yes. Whereas like you watch, I don't know, Packer and Billy the Kid or, I mean...
Oh my God, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That is one of the best things I've seen all year.
Yeah.
But I would say what is more interesting than the film itself is there is a feature-length documentary on there. Could you rip it back out for me? Because I cannot remember for what it's called, but I think it's on... It is on the 4K disc. Mm-hmm. It is Passion and Poetry, Sam's Trucker Movie. Which is that Mike that Siegel documentary.
Passion and Poetry has been
a
new segment or a new chapter each time. Yeah, brilliant.
And this is about an hour and 15 minutes or so this time. Everybody's interviewed. Everybody is interviewed. Chris Christopherson is interviewed. Chris Christopherson whips out his fucking guitar and plays you songs in this documentary. As uninteresting as Convoy is, the story of the making of Convoy is fascinating, as all Peckinpah films are. But I think in particular, Convoy is an interesting journey it goes on. Cannot recommend that enough. If you watch Convoy, you owe it to yourself to watch that documentary.
Yeah.
And I think that is the best shit that Imprint does. When they get something really good, they get something big and worthy of sinking their teeth into, they do it with every Peckinpah film. They load it up with context.
Stuff.
They load up the discs with an immense amount of context for you to kind of get further reading from. And Convoy is no exception. And I think it makes it, for me, one of the more exciting kind of boxes that we've had in there, because it is just kind of like, oh, what a weird oddity that's completely forgotten to time, this film. I said that I had a poster of Convoy growing up, when I was like 17 or whatever I had it. But yeah, it's fascinating to have finally seen Convoy. I'd never seen it before.
It had just been talking to you from your wall.
I had it on my wall for so long and I finally saw Convoy, and I was really not interested into it. But then that doco is so good.
I mean, dude, you just said a couple of magic words to me. Chris Christopherson picks up his guitar.
He plays two songs in this doco. And just in interview talking head mode, plays two songs.
Bring it. It's awesome. Bring it.
Yeah, Convoy. I would say it's a recommendation, though.
Oh, yeah.
Recommendation. And the 4K looks fantastic.
Look, it looks stunning. I'm not saying it looks stunning. It's just that if you, in your mind's eye, are a bit of a Peckinpah head, Convoy is not one of my favorites either. Yeah. It does have like B quality. It does look sensational. It's not B in what we would consider in 2024 to be. In fact, it's probably triple A as far as like production value and actors and those things. But just like, for me, it's not one of those ones like that it knocked me sideways. No. It was just like a kind of a solid movie without knocking us away. So I would just say this is an absolute ridiculous batch, and you are probably not going to have enough cash to purchase any and everything from it. I don't know how many folks are going to go out and do the full batch here.
I'd say make your selections.
Yes.
Like, it's kind of interesting. I go, Convoy is the film that I liked the least in this batch. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. Like, I would recommend buying the set. I don't recommend watching the movie, but it's interesting. And then Neverending Story is one of my favorite movies of all time. This is the best set I've ever owned. Mm-hmm. Like, it will take a prime position, not just in my collection, like
in your
it has
bed.
To take in my house. Like it has to take a big spot in my house. And I'm just going, oh, I don't know if I can just go out and buy it. I think if you love The Neverending Story the way that I do, if it's an important film for you, if you cherish it, if you want to feel like you're part of it, I recommend buying it.
Yes.
But I think it's like you really have to think about it. It's so expensive.
It's expensive.
I know that I would have bought it. I know that I would have bought it full price. I know that I would have
been... There are just these things that you do.
And I would not have regretted it. I would have felt bad about it for a minute, but I go, no.
When you got it in your hand.
I think about it how many times. And of course, yes, I recorded it on TV as a kid and I watched it with ads. Maybe if you could have included that version recorded from Channel 9 in 1991. Or whatever.
Weird KFC ads, weird ads for Wide World of Sports.
Finding out about what was on 60 Minutes that night. All of those kind of things. Like, I really just deeply love this movie. And, you know, even though I've already owned the 4K from Germany, I still would have bought this. I would have done it in a second.
There's a Michael Mann shelf in my office that probably has seven versions of the film hanging on it.
So I got to say, this is... Blake, dare I say, I reckon this Neverending Story set is my favorite release of the year.
Wow.
Of anything, of Imprint, of around the world. I've had some really great physical media moments. And I feel crazy for saying it was just one movie, but two cuts and you get a full-length doco, so it's two movies, kind of two and a half movies, two and a bit. I love it. I'm really excited about it. I've held it every day. Since you've received it,
you've held mine too.
And I've held yours too. While we were doing this, I refused to let it go and I cradled it for the whole episode. And we've not said that out loud yet, but I cradled your version of this the entire episode.
It's ridiculous. I actually FaceTimed Lex when it arrived in my house.
And I was jealous I didn't get mine yet.
He didn't have his yet. Yeah. And then he not only like wowed when he saw the size of the box, but then when he was like, and that's what it comes in when they ship it to you, like it's a gigantic
whole separate box.
It's a ginormous box. Folks, yeah, this is like Neverending Story is not the same childhood touchstone as it was for Lex, but it is truly one of the most impressive pieces of, like, it's truly one of the most impressive artifacts of physical media I've seen released.
Yeah.
It's an incredible piece.
Yeah. What the hell, man?
Huge. It's huge. But Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, you got to, I mean, that.
That's the one where I go, yeah, buy that.
Yeah, 100%. That's like.
Nail that one.
Nail it. Yeah. Done. Sorted. Don't even think about it.
Buy that as a gift. No brainer. No brainer. Nice one.
Nice one.
But
this requires thought.
You need to think.
You need to meditate.
Like, and I presented with it. Unfortunately, I wouldn't have thought.
No.
I would have just gone, oh, there sorry, darling, no Christmas presents this year.
That's the end.
Unfortunately, I splurged. I bought a PlayStation 5 and a Neverending Story box set in 1 year. Man, it's gorgeous. Love it. I can't stop holding it.
What
a great year. Great films through Imprint. Some really, really great stuff. And what a great way to end it on. Blake, my pleasure to spin those discs with you. And to another year.
To another year. Cheers.
Cheers, mate. To another year and another few years.
You want a cold Coke Zero?
I love them, but it's too much. I'll be up all night, be pinging and ponging. I'll have to watch Neverending Story German cut one more time. And maybe A Bridge Too Far as well, if I can fall asleep.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.